welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. We'd like to invite you to, on December the 20th, to come to our community meal from 5 to 7. We will have ham, mashed potatoes, corn, and cake. Our radio this morning is sponsored by Beth and Jerry White in honor of Kayla's birthday. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning for worship service at 10 a.m. We invite you to watch and subscribe to our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry, we'd like to help further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our scripture this morning is going to be from Luke 1:45. 46 through 55. But first, our special music will be Mary, Did You Know? By Tony Harris.
Soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that
Thank you. Now our scripture from Luke 1, 46 to 55. This is Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their utmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and returned home. Our sermon this morning by Pastor Angel Armstrong is Mary's Song.
And according to the scriptures in Luke, Mary did not just speak forth those promises. She entered into every single one. Mary even uses verbs in past tense to illustrate that she has already claimed all of what God has said to her, to illustrate that she is claiming each and every promise of our God. Should we do likewise? Should we believe 100% fully in the promises that God has given us, no matter how long they may take to materialize? Once upon a time, there was a beautiful, strong, faith-filled peasant girl named Mary, who was visited by an angel. And yes, that angel was a bit terrifying. Angels aren't the sweet little cherub babies that we see. Angels are magnificent. They are huge. There is a bright light around them. She was indeed taken aback. But never once, did she counter what the Lord was saying to her. She asked one question. We know there had to be thousands of questions in her mind. She said, "How is this to be? I am not yet married. I am still a virgin." But yet she said, "Let it be with me as you have said." If an angel appeared to each one of us today and proclaimed something as impossible as a miracle birth, never having been with a man, we were going to conceive and give birth. That in itself is enough of a miracle. But that we would give birth to the Holy One, the long-awaited One, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God. Can you imagine how you would feel? I know my breath would be taken away, but to have the faith that she had and said, "I don't understand any of this. I don't know how it works, but let it be with me as you have said." My soul does magnify the Lord. This song is referred to as the Magnificat for the first line in it. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. And that is indeed our God. I don't care how lowly each and every one of us may think of ourselves. He holds us in high esteem. Each and every one of us were created in his image, and he has the same love for each and every one of us. And my prayer, and I have been spending time in prayer for each and every one of you, so don't move out of your seats, because then I can't come up with how I'm praying for y'all. But my prayer for you is that you will honestly feel the depth, the width, and the breadth of our Father's love for each of us. This song comes from Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. I wish that we knew her better. When we think of Mary, we usually picture some blessed Madonna, some gentle little thing. She was gentle in heart and in spirit, but she was a peasant girl. She had strength. Her hands were used to lifting. She was used to going after water and carrying a huge jug of water enough to take care of the whole family for the day. She was used to helping her father and her brothers out in the field. She was used to helping her mother in their humble home. She was gentle of spirit, but there was nothing weak about this peasant girl. She was filled with strength. She was also steeped in the Jewish scriptures. She heard them all around her. She knew who Jehovah Adonai, who God was. Perhaps helping her brothers and father in the field gave her strength. She was not delicate, but she was gentle of spirit. And that's what God wants of all of us, no matter how many times, or how badly, or how deeply we have been hurt, we have been betrayed, we have lost, we are filled with grief. It does not matter what we have been through in our lifetime, because each and every one of us have a story to tell. And each and every one of us have been through pain, through grief, through loss. But he requires us to be gentle of heart. I love Ezekiel, where he says, I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. We are to be as hard as flint when it comes to the world and our thoughts of following Christ Jesus. But we are to keep our hearts malleable, our hearts shapeable, formable. Our hearts are to be able to be quickened by the Holy Spirit to receive His word, to do as he says. You know, I find it really interesting that Mary did not burst forth into song when this magnificent angel stood before her. Whew! She waited until after she had been to see Elizabeth. You know, there was so much for her to digest. There was so much running through her mind. She had to be thinking, what is Joseph going to think of me? Will he believe me? Will he divorce me? Will he have me stoned? Will he have the tip of my nose cut off and banished? She had to wonder what the townspeople would say about her. People can be cruel. What they would say about her and her family. She knew that an unplanned pregnancy would bring shame not only on her, but on her family. She went immediately to see one of her relatives, Elizabeth, the angel had told her that even Elizabeth will give birth to a child in her old age, past childbearing age. And if you remember the story correctly, Zechariah is struck silent because he did not believe the word of the Lord. So Mary packed up all of her belongings and she went to see her cousin Elizabeth. She needed to sort this out. She needed to talk to a woman of wisdom. She needed to get right, to figure things out. Okay, this is what God wants of me. Let it be as you have said, but I need some help in processing this. And the minute she walks into Elizabeth's house, the baby in Elizabeth recognized his Lord within her and leapt for joy in Elizabeth's belly. The baby in Elizabeth recognized the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't it strike you as just a little bit strange that Mary sang that song, not after an angelic visit, but after a visit with her kinswoman? It doesn't really strike me as strange, because I know that we all need affirmation of God's will in our lives. This is why we turn to the Scripture. Scripture will never come against God's will in our life. It might not spell it out, but it will never come against God's will in our life. This is why we turn to the reason and the logic that God gave us. But that experience, that faith, those traditions must rise up and overcome logic, because logically, she has to be thinking, there's no way that I can get pregnant. I've not been with a man. And me, a lowly peasant girl, giving birth to the Son of God? I don't even see how this is humanly possible, and it's not. But it is possible with the Holy Spirit. Through the angel, she was told what God wanted of her, but she needed confirmation from another human being. How many times have you or I felt like we have been told what God wants of us, and we just can't believe it right yet? And we have to go to a wise person that we trust and ask them to pray for us and ask them to confirm what we believe God is saying to us, what God's will is for our lives. When Elizabeth blessed her and said, "You will be called blessed among women. You will be remembered for the fruit of thy womb. You will be called blessed among women." I know the little Mary, we think she was somewhere between 13 and 16, is thinking, "Who? Me? I'm nobody special." But that is exactly who God uses. He uses the humble and not the proud. He uses the broken and not the put together. He uses a poor, humble, peasant girl rather than royalty. You know, I think of our brother Mark right now. He's preaching his first sermon, and he debated. He knew he had a call in his heart. He felt it for a good long while. But he needed our confirmation. He needed someone else to tell him, "Yeah, I do believe you're called. I'm praying for you. I see it within you." I know I needed that. I ran for a good many years from the call of God. But the hound of heaven kept tracking me down. He kept showing me in miraculous ways. Yes, I met you. Just as the baby that leapt inside of Elizabeth said to Mary, "Yes, I met you." The words that Mary then spoke, "My soul does magnify the Lord," are among the most beautiful and the most quoted in all of history. A person may hear God's call or receive a sense of a holy responsibility and yet question the feeling that has been shared with them. Confirmation is needed through a sensitive person, and you, beloved, may be Elizabeth to another living human being. Has anybody ever felt the pleasure of being used by God in someone else's life? To give them a word, to pray for them, to tell them this scripture came to mind. If this happens to you, step up. Step up and tell the person. God will find a way of telling them, but your blessing will be missed. I said earlier that Mary was a peasant girl in a small town, a girl in her teens. Is it possible that a person with so limited education and experience could give us such a masterpiece? Is it possible that God can work in each and every one of us in the lives of another human being? I could answer that question in the language of simple faith by saying that all things are possible when one speaks under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Or I could follow the thinking of critical scholars who would contend that these words were probably put in Mary's mouth later down the line. Somebody wrote that in and said that this is what Mary said because it made a good story. I choose to take the word of God literally. I choose to believe that all of it is God-breathed and inspired by the Holy Spirit. I choose to believe that amazing things come from uneducated people. Look at Abraham Lincoln. He didn't even finish grade school, and he gave us some of the most important documents in history. Look at the Diary of Anne Frank. Has anybody ever read it? That's a pretty intense little book by a teenage girl. I choose to believe that our God works miracles in each and every one of us, helping us to understand, helping us to speak, helping us to study Him and to know Him different. Mary was using the language in which she had been nurtured all her life. It is often noted that Mary's song is similar in so very many ways to a lot of the Old Testament scriptures. It is similar to the prayer uttered by Hannah, the mother of Samuel, the prophet, the hero of the Old Testament. Mary grew up in a devout Jewish home where language was on their side. I mentioned people in suffering and in need, deprived of clothing, freedom, shelter, and love. Heaven cast its vote for the underdogs. Heaven uses us in the lives of the less fortunate. Heaven is set against the cruelty and the comfort of the people who are indifferent. He keeps our hearts soft. May we never ever become so hardened that we don't see someone suffering and respond to it. This is a tough gospel, much tougher than many of us with our own personal prejudice, want it to be. But it isn't simplistic in style. In the styles that come across our media, our television, our radios, Facebook, little political snippets that we turn aside. God is colorblind. God does not respond to a person based on their race. God favors the oppressed. God favors those who are suffering. Does God favor those who are unlearned? Did you know there's a difference between ignorance and stupidity? It took me a long time to know that one. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge. That's nothing to be ashamed of. We simply must learn that knowledge. Stupidity, on the other hand, is having the knowledge and refusing to use it. That is something to be ashamed of. We see it throughout the gospel. Throughout the gospel, they knew who Christ was. They just didn't want their world turned upside down. We humans must always submit to a rigorous self-examination. It seems to me that God is always seeking to set the score straight. And it seems that we are always, each and every one of us, in need of some straightening in our lives. In a world of politically correct, he calls for courageous reformers who will step up after examining themselves and speak his truth. Unfortunately, those reformers, once they step into office, once they have a position of power, often are corrupted by it. I pray constantly, and I have given people permission to speak truth into my life, so that I am never caught up in that, so that God can always speak to my heart, so that other people can. We humans must submit ourselves to the trial of the biblical word. We must examine ourselves each and every time we pass judgment on others, and we're human, we do it. What we need to remember is we got one finger pointing out and three pointing back. Each and every time one of those things come into our mind, we need to say, please God, help me to look at myself clearly. This judgment may well be true, but where am I lacking? Where am I hardened? Where must I become submissive unto you? We remember how easy it is for the oppressed to become the oppressor. God is not on the side of power. God is on the side of justice and mercy. We can find this reassuring when we're the underdog, but we can find it difficult when we have some power, some authority, some wealth. We can find it difficult to truly look at ourselves. Mary's song was a strange song for an unlearned peasant girl. It was the kind of song that political people may sing if they had a conscience that would direct them towards God. Mary's song is a grand song not only for the Advent season, but for all year long. Catholic priests recite those words daily in their divine evening office. But yet they have to work hard on not becoming numb to the words, because when you have heard something over and over and over again and read it over and over again, it loses its mystery. And beloved, that is my challenge to you, that you get in the Word. Read Luke. Read at least the second chapter. and that you find the awe and mystery in it again. We need to rejoice in the gifts that our God gave to us. He gave us the Savior of the world, the Anointed One, the one who has felt all pain, the one who has been tempted and tried but did not sin, the one who knows us intimately. He knows us good, bad, and ugly, and still uplifts us and stands and speaks for us. God is so committed to us. Can we not take this simple 4-week period and immerse ourselves in the breath of heaven?